The information shared in this podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. It should not be considered as professional legal advice or a substitute for seeking professional legal advice. Divorce, custody battles, domestic violence. These cases unfold every day in family courts. But the stories don't end in the courtroom. The courtroom is just the beginning. This is Love Less Law, and I'm your host, Michelle Locke. I've spent 23 years practicing as a divorce attorney and presided over more than 5,000 cases as an associate court judge in Texas over a dedicated family violence court. I'm also the child of divorce, and after a 22-year marriage, I've been through one of my own. When I say I've lived every side of family law, I mean it. Now I'm bringing that experience to the mic so we can unpack the legal battles fueled by love, lust, power, money, betrayal, and survival. Today, I'm joined by Jake Deptula, a seasoned victim advocate and podcaster who also happens to be my friend and executive producer. And together, we're taking a closer look at one of the most high-profile relationships in the world right now, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Taylor is the biggest music star on the planet, selling out stadium after stadium across five continents. Travis is a three-time Super Bowl champion and one of the greatest tight ends in NFL history. On their own, they're global icons. Together, they've become one of the most talked about couples in pop culture. Unlike many of the stories we cover on this podcast, this one isn't about abuse, betrayal, or custody battles. It's the first time we're looking at a healthy relationship, one where both people seem to bring out the best in each other. And that matters because there's a lot we can learn from seeing what it looks like when a couple sets boundaries, supports each other's careers, and manages life in the public eye. Today, we'll walk through how their relationship began, how they've navigated fame, money, and family, and what legal questions come up when two people with this much success decide to get married. Things are about to get real, so let's get started. Taylor Swift. It's a name everyone knows. She's a singer and songwriter whose music resonates with millions, and she's become the highest-grossing live performer in history. Beyond the numbers, she's seen as a role model, someone who gives back, who inspires, and who represents a kind of goodness that people admire. She's not just famous. She is iconic.
Her first album came out in 2006 when she was only 16. It featured songs like Teardrops on My Guitar and Our Song, and within a year, it was certified platinum. From there, her career never slowed down. Over the years, Taylor has released 11 albums, with a 12th on the way in October 2025. She's had 12 number one songs, more than 260 songs on the charts, and she's won 14 Grammys. She's also gone on 6 tours.
But because so much of her music explores love, her relationships have always drawn attention. She's been linked to well-known names like Joe Jonas, Taylor Lautner, and Jake Gyllenhaal. Then in late 2016, she began dating actor Joe Alwyn. Their relationship was different. It stayed mostly out of the spotlight, maybe because Joe wasn't a household name. Taylor and Joe were together for several years, but by March 2023, it was over. Sources said the two had grown apart, and part of the issue was Joe struggling with her level of fame. One source explained, Taylor and Joe are in totally different places in their lives right now. It was more of Taylor's decision to break up, but both of them realized that they weren't completely right for one another.
The breakup happened right as Taylor was launching the Eras Tour, her sixth and biggest tour yet. It was designed as a tribute to all of her albums and musical eras. The set list ran more than 3.5 hours with over 40 songs divided into acts that reflected each album's mood and style. Critics praised the tour for its creativity and scale. Fans loved the chance to dress up, trade friendship bracelets, and share the experience together. It wasn't just a concert, it was an experience, one you would never forget.
The Eras Tour wasn't just big, it was record-shattering. It ran from March of 2023 through December 2024 with 149 shows in 51 cities across 5 continents. By the end, more than 10 million people had seen Taylor perform. And it wasn't just attendance that made headlines. The tour became the highest grossing in history and the first ever to bring in more than $1 billion. The Eras Tour took Taylor's fame to a whole new level. She'd already been one of the biggest stars in the world, but now there didn't seem to be any ceiling. The media was obsessed with her and reported on everything she did, especially anything related to her personal life. They were watching in September 2023 when, during a break from the tour, Taylor showed up at a Kansas City Chiefs game. She was spotted in the family box with tight end Travis Kelce's family.
Fans were surprised to see her there, and the rumors started immediately. Everyone was asking, is Taylor dating Travis Kelce? At first, no one knew for sure. But what began as speculation soon turned into a very public romance, a love story that seemed to come straight out of one of Taylor's own songs.
Travis Michael Kelce was born October 5th, 1989, in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, where he grew up alongside his older brother, Jason. Football has been central to their lives for so many years. Travis and Jason both played at the University of Cincinnati. After that, Jason was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles, and a few years later, in 2013, Travis was selected by the Kansas City Chiefs. He's been with them ever since. Over the course of his career, Travis had become one of the greatest tight ends in NFL history. He won 3 Super Bowls with the Chiefs and holds multiple league records, including most receiving yards by a tight end in a single season. Off the field, he's known for his podcast, New Heights, which he co-hosts with Jason. The two cover everything from football to pop culture, and it's become hugely popular.
Travis and Jason's notoriety hit a whole new level at the start of 2023, when the Chiefs and the Eagles were set to face each other in the Super Bowl. Travis and Jason would compete against each other for football's biggest title, and it carried even more weight because it would be Jason's final season. That storyline really captured the media's attention. Their mom, Donna, even became a fan favorite when she showed up in outfits split down the middle, half Chiefs, half Eagles, to support both of her sons.
The game itself was one of the most memorable in recent years. It was close and intense, the kind of Super Bowl that kept people glued to their screens. And it wasn't just the game that stood out. Rihanna performed at halftime and revealed she was pregnant, creating yet another headline moment. In the end, the Chiefs pulled out the win with a final score of 38-35. The victory cemented Travis's place as a household name. From that point forward, fans weren't just interested in what he did on the field, but they were watching what he did off the field as well.
Michelle, we have set the stage for Taylor and Travis, but how exactly did their worlds collide?
Well, on July 7th and 8th of 2023, Taylor brought the Eras Tour to Kansas City. She performed at Arrowhead Stadium, the home field of the Chiefs. And like we just talked about at the time, the Chiefs were riding high. They were the biggest team in the NFL, and naturally, some of the players showed up at her concert. Even though the players were stars in their own right, none of them were allowed to meet Taylor before or after the show. God, I love that. She had a strict rule about saving her voice for the stage, which is something that she absolutely needs to do if she wanted to sing 40 songs.
But that didn't stop Travis Kelce from trying. He had a crush on Taylor, and he wanted to meet her. He even made her a friendship bracelet with his phone number on it, but he never got the chance to give it to her. Later, Travis admitted that he thought he could slip past her security because he knew someone working the stadium elevator, but it didn't work. On the next episode of his podcast, New Heights, Travis revealed that he was a little butthurt. He couldn't meet Taylor or give her the bracelet. At the time, it seemed like a funny story that would never turn into anything more.
Oh, let's be clear. He was a little more than butthurt. Let's be clear on that one.
100%.
But then, 2 months later, everything changed. On September 24th, Taylor showed up at the Chiefs game at Arrowhead Stadium. She was in the private suite with the Kelces. After the game, she was seen leaving the stadium with Travis. In one video clip posted on X, she told him it was the best. Even though the two didn't kiss or confirm anything publicly, there was no definitive proof they were dating, but the speculation took off. I mean, come on. Taylor was in the middle of her biggest tour of her life, and she chose to spend one of her rare days off in Kansas City watching Travis play. She wouldn't do that for just anyone.
Months later in December, Taylor spoke about this game in an interview with Time and confirmed they were officially together by that point. She said, I think some people think they saw our first date at that game. We would never be psychotic enough to hard launch a first date.
Right. Why would you ever hard launch a first? I'm sorry, I completely interrupted you, but I'm like, come on. Like, they'd already been dating for several months at that point, is my guess, number one. Number two,
she definitely got wind from her security that he had made a bracelet with his phone number on it. She'd already heard that information. So they had already been arranged at some point, I'm guessing, through their respective teams, agents to hang out. And they had several dates by then. She is media savvy enough to know that her leaving that stadium with Travis and staying in his parents' suite at the game told everyone in the world they were in a relationship or dating. I mean, it's like, duh. I mean, and you think that was the first time she met his parents? Come on now.
And to your point, everything had to be planned and calculated, not just for publicity purposes, but for security purposes, for a lot of different factors there. So I think that that makes perfect sense. And I think that people have to be a little bit more conscious of how Taylor has run her life and how she runs her business. It looks like Taylor being baptized into Travis's world, but in a way, it's kind of the other way around, I think.
Oh, I agree. It's the other way around. It was, hey, Travis, welcome to my world.
100%. So it's almost like wherever Taylor goes, there is going to be a show, whether she sings or not, whether she performs or not.
I'm going to go 8 steps ahead of everyone else because you're not even married yet. But Travis seems like this really caring, loving, super supportive boyfriend. And I think all those things are true. Man, wait till Taylor gets pregnant. Y'all are going to see a Papa Bear like you've never seen before. Just wait. No one's going to touch his queen. Watch. I'm telling you, mark my words.
100%. You think you're right. And also, too, remember, Travis has probably only got, 3 to 5 years left playing, technically?
If he does.
Yeah.
If he does. Not like he needs to.
No, but if you look at the way his career has gone with really baptizing him into media, getting him out there as a media personality, appearing in films and television, I think that that's basically a secondary career for him. But from a father standpoint, let's be pretty clear about this. Most likely, Taylor will not slow down. Taylor has a very long career ahead of her. Meaning tours, albums, things like that. So Travis doesn't have the same need to maybe go international or go do these things. You know what I'm saying? Travis may be in the best position to be the stay-at-home dad, if that comes to that.
I don't disagree with you, but I also, because I've watched he and his brother's podcast, which is highly entertaining to watch for lots of reasons. That being said, I can actually see Taylor really take a hiatus for a couple of years.
Interesting. Interesting.
That is what I actually see happening, is her taking a hiatus for a couple of years. She has written so much about love and heartache and breakups, and that has fueled everything. And she has spent from, 2023 until December 2024 touring, and she's got a new album dropping in October. I think she's going to take a step back, because not like she needs the money, number one. And number two, I'm going to put it bluntly, and I hate to put this bluntly, but she's at the age for women. And I know, because I had my last son when I got pregnant with him when I was 37. And I remember my doctor putting on my chart advanced maternal age. And I was like, what a bunch of crap. But that's what doctors label you as. And after 35, doctors start labeling you as an advanced maternal age pregnancy, which has some additional issues with it. I got to tell you, I can see Taylor taking 2 to 3 years off minimum. They're both the same age. He's at a point in the NFL that he's got to consider the damage that's been done to his body still, right? Because being a tight end, he gets some hits. And so he's got to worry about his health down the road. She'll be 36 this year.
Yeah.
Okay, so then she's really looking at the biological clock. And that is not me being sexist. That is not me downplaying women. Understand, I had a baby when I was 38, so that's not what I'm doing. I'm just talking about the realities of biology and women. I could see her taking time off. And I think the media reports have come out that they want a very small, intimate wedding with close friends. And I think they want to do that because, one, takes less time to plan. 2, they can get it done much quicker. And 3, I mean, I got to tell you, I almost want their kind of relationship, which is someone that's equal to or as close to equal to your power as you can get, for Taylor in particular, and someone that is a big guy that's going to make someone like her feel safe. Because I got to tell you, I think she is so used to running the show, being the boss, making the decisions, and really living, and you and I have talked about this before, living in what's really her masculine energy.
Yeah, 100%.
That she gets to go home to Travis and not have to live in that. And that for her has got to be just wonderful.
I think you really hit a very strong chord here with the whole masculine energy thing, because I think that her feeling safe and comfortable that somebody is taking care of her, it sounds like she's never had that in this way. And I think that's a very important point to make.
And the way she looks at him.
Yeah.
It's what I read out of it. I could be completely wrong, but I'm just telling you, I see her and it's, and I did on one of my vlogs recently, she found her Prince Charming. As a woman to a woman, as a powerful woman to another powerful woman, although nowhere near the same hemisphere, universe, galaxy as Taylor. But to find that person that makes you feel safe at home and lets you come home and be a woman, that's pretty wonderful.
I think we want to believe in fairy tales, and this may very well be the one of the season.
You know, even though I do divorce law for a living, right? That everyone thinks that makes me bitter and cynical. I still believe in the true love. I still want it for myself. I still believe in the fairy tale.
It appears that things were calculated for Travis too, which makes sense. They have to be when you're dating the world's biggest star. For example, before the game, Travis told the Pat McPhee show that he had invited Taylor to come watch him in the Chiefs play. He didn't mention they were already a couple.
Of course not. That's part of the PR strategy. They had a meeting with their PR team to discuss what they were going to say before she showed up. After the game, Travis opened up about her being there on his podcast, New Heights. But again, he didn't admit to anything. Travis said, "I'm enjoying life. And I sure as hell enjoyed this weekend." He called it a game to remember. He added, "Shout out to Taylor for pulling up." He even joked it was ballsy of her to sit in the box with his family and friends. Then he said, "I just thought it was awesome how everybody in the suite had nothing but great things to say about her, the friends and family." They were already serious at that point, is my speculation, because she met friends and family. And she already met his parents before then, I'm sure. From September to December 2023, Taylor and Travis did not confirm their relationship, but Taylor continued showing up at Chiefs games whenever she could. Each week when the Chiefs played, people wondered, would she be there? Her appearances drew attention from every direction, the public, the media, even the NFL itself. Boy, should the NFL be thanking her. And it wasn't just because she was the world's biggest artist rumored to be dating a player. It was also because she often brought her friends along, celebrities like Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds, and Hugh Jackman. The broadcast cameras would occasionally pan to Taylor and her group in the stands, giving viewers rare glimpses into her usually private life. Fans loved it. They got to see Taylor off stage, relaxed and having fun, just like any other person at a football game.
We know it had an impact. NBC reported that viewership spiked among young girls and women when Taylor was in the stadium, up 53% for girls ages 12 to 17, 24% for women 18 to 24, and 34% for women over 35. Basically, a previously untapped market for the NFL.
But with the attention comes criticism. Some viewers were annoyed that Taylor was shown at all. They argued she was on screen too often. Social media blew up with exaggerated claims that the broadcasts were fixated on her. But a New York Times study found that in most games, Taylor was shown for less than a minute total. And even if it had been more, can you really blame the NFL? Having Taylor at those games was a huge win. She brought in an entirely new demographic of viewers, and the league leaned into it. Their social media even posted about Taylor and Travis's then-rumored relationship. That, of course, annoyed some of the fans even further.
Travis eventually addressed it on his podcast, New Heights. He admitted, "I think it's fun when they show who was at the game. I think it brings a little bit more to the atmosphere. It brings a little bit more to what you're watching. But at the same time, I think..." Jason jumped in. "They're overdoing it." And Travis agreed. "They're overdoing it a little bit for sure, especially my situation. But I think they're just trying to have fun with it."
Shortly after that episode of New Heights came out, the NFL released a statement to people defending how much they'd leaned into the Taylor and Travis story. They said, "We frequently change our bios and profile imagery based on what's happening in and around our games, as well as culturally. The Taylor and Travis news have been a pop cultural moment we've leaned into in real time, as it's an intersection of sports and entertainment. And we've seen an incredible amount of positivity around the sport. The vast majority of our content has remained focused on the game."
Since when has the NFL ever shied away from an opportunity that a controversy could bring them, especially when it comes to halftime shows, the Super Bowl. Let's think of all the Super Bowl performances where they court controversy. In fact, they exploit it.
I'm going to go back to when Jessica Simpson was dating a Cowboy player. Remember that?
Like, of course, yeah.
I mean, come on. They lean in every time. Why? Why do they do that? Because the NFL cares about what? The bottom dollar. And so they're going to do what it takes to bring in money. And Taylor brought them an audience they never would have gotten otherwise. I'll be real honest. I didn't watch much football until I heard Taylor and Travis were dating. And I was like, oh, maybe I should tune in. She's a powerhouse. She brings in people. And if you are in the United States, which is the capital of capitalism, that's what you're going to do.
Taylor has probably done more to bring in not only audience, but also, remember, merch. Moving anything Kansas City Chiefs related, especially to Travis Kelce.
Have you heard what happened to his jersey sales after they got engaged?
I know they spiked.
Yeah, let me look at the percentage because it was some crazy, crazy like spike. Let me look it up. Let's see. Travis Kelce's jerseys sales skyrocket following Taylor Swift engagement. Let's see how much they've skyrocketed. Get this. According to TMZ, Fanatics, which is an official e-commerce partner of both the NFL and the Chiefs, claims that Kelce's jersey has had a 200% increase in sales since Swift and Kelce announced their engagement. The sales increased 200%, Jake, from a Monday to a Tuesday.
It's all about the money. It's all about the popularity. It's all about generating a buzz and activity. And I think that, again, the NFL would be foolish not to tap into this. And whether it's being overdone or not, I guess that depends on football purist or looking at football from sport versus entertainment, but it's always been on both sides of that.
And then their engagement post. Their post received 14 million likes in the first hour.
Wow.
First hour of it coming out. And 2 million reposts in less than 24 hours. At the time of this article, which is August 29th, it had over 34 million likes, 2.7 million reposts, and 10 million shares. On October 14th, fans got to see Taylor and Travis together again, this time on Saturday Night Live. Taylor helped introduce Ice Spice as a musical guest, and Travis appeared in a skit poking fun at the NFL's obsession with showing Taylor during games. After the show, cameras caught the two of them holding hands as they headed into the SNL after party at Catch Steak. It was the most public glimpse yet of their connection. But still, no confirmation they were dating.
By the following month, though, there was no room for doubt. On November 11th in Argentina, during one of her tour stops, Taylor gave fans the confirmation they've been waiting for. In the final song of the night, Karma, she changed the lyrics. Instead of singing, "Karma is the guy on the screen coming straight home to me," she sang, "Karma is the guy in the Chiefs coming straight home to me." The crowd erupted immediately. Screams filled the venue, and video of the lyric change went viral within minutes. For her fans, it was everything. They knew their idol had finally found the kind of love she'd been writing about for years. A love that felt like it came straight out of a movie.
Man, that gives me chills.
A love they all dreamed of.
Isn't that love we all dream of, Jake? I mean, really? You know, we go through heartache, we go through relationships, we go through the ups and downs, and not all of us, and it goes back to not all of us need someone to complete us, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I like having a person. I like being with a person. It's fun to share your life with a partner that's healthy. And so I think it's great. I think it's great for her. I can only imagine what that must have felt like in that stadium when she did that.
I think that it really does wonders for her fan base, for people who really want to see her happy. Someone who's brought so many people so much happiness, got them through their ups and their downs and so many things in life. And I think that ultimately it's really good for people to find someone who gives them hope throughout this process. I think at the end of the day, most people who dream about love, who want to find love, who are in love, and those who are getting out of love may want to find it again or may not think they could find it again. I think that this really speaks volumes to them.
Yeah, it's, you know, Romeo and Juliet without the dead people at the end.
Yep. Well said, Michelle. Very well said.
You know, I have a way with words, Jake. Not long after Taylor changed the lyrics to Karma in Argentina, Travis gave an interview to Wall Street Journal magazine. And in that interview, he officially and unequivocally confirmed what everyone else already suspected. He and Taylor were officially dating. He spoke very highly of her, saying, "I've never been a man of words. Being around her, seeing how smart Taylor is, has been fucking mind-blowing. I'm learning every day." The scrutiny she gets, how much she has a magnifying glass on her every single day. Paparazzi outside her house, outside every restaurant she goes to, after every flight she gets off of. And she's just living, enjoying life. When she acts like that, I better not be the one acting all strange.
He seems very open to learn from Taylor on how to navigate through this. Taylor seems to have her team really lockstep when it comes to where she's going to be, who has access to her, things like that. But Travis will be more accessible. And with that comes the opportunity for paparazzi to possibly trigger him in order to do something. That's just, I'm just thinking out loud here. What do you think?
So here's what I think. I think Taylor and her team took Travis to school.
Yes.
And I think that they had a sit down with him, and not in a demeaning way in any way, and not in a do this or else. I think they sat him down and said, look, here is what she is required to do because of who she is. And here are our hints and suggestions and tips for how you do the same. Like, I think he was taken to school. And he's a likable guy, and he's a big guy. And I think it was pretty obvious from the beginning. They were both enamored with each other. Very, very much so. And even when he makes the comments, when he comments to the Wall Street Journal about how smart she is, that is a man that respects the woman he is dating to a level he's probably never respected another woman he's dating to. I mean, he probably has her on a pedestal for intelligence, for ingenuity, for courage, for everything she's gone through. I think they probably met and they knew it was different. They knew it was different from the beginning. And he was going to do whatever it took to make sure that he fit into her world and didn't screw it up because he respected her and loved her that much.
Travis also talked about how different their connection felt. It was unlike anything he had ever experienced before. He said, "I've never dated anyone with that kind of aura around them. I've never dealt with it. But at the same time, I'm not running away from it." And when it came to the pressure of dating someone like Taylor, he was clear about his priorities. Travis said, "The biggest thing to me, make sure I don't say anything that would push Taylor away." He added, "Everyone around me is telling me, don't fuck this up." And me sitting here saying, "Yeah, I got it."
Can I tell you, I think Mama Kelsey pulled him aside by his ear and say, "Listen here." I mean, I am sure everyone in his circle was like, "Dude, you just landed Taylor Swift. Do not fuck this up. Do not fuck this up. You're not going to get any better." I can only imagine what his buddies were telling. They were like, I'm sure Jason called him and said, "Little brother, I love you. You're a dumbass. You better get your head out of your ass and not screw this one up."
Oh my God.
Can't you see Jason making that phone call?
Oh, 100%.
100%.
But he isn't intimidated, which I think is what Taylor needs. Taylor doesn't need someone in their feminine energy. She needs someone in their masculine energy. And I think that with him, sounds like on and off the field, he plays that role effectively and comfortably.
Oh, listen, I don't have any doubt he is who he is at home and on the field. And he is a protector. And I have no doubt that off the field, she gets to go home with him and curl her feet up on the couch and curl into his arms and the rest of the world melts away. In December, Taylor was named Time Person of the Year. During an interview for that feature, she spoke about her relationship with Travis. That's when she revealed they were already a couple before the Chiefs game in September. Well, duh. She also described how the romance began. She said, "It all started when Travis was very adorably put me on blast on his podcast, which I thought was metal as hell." She continued, "We started hanging out right after that." Jake, what's going on with Taylor and Travis when they first met and before everyone knew about them reminds me very much of Jennifer and Brad. And I remember Jennifer in her story talking about that was some of their best moments because they just got to be themselves. without the press, without the coverage, without the scrutiny, without everyone talking about it. And I'm sure the same was for Taylor and Travis, as they got to know each other as regular people and not who she is on stage and not who he is on the football field, just as a boy and a girl falling in love. There was one more thing Taylor shared in an interview that stood out to me. She said that she and Travis take turns going to each other's games and shows as a way of showing up for each other. And she added, "We're just proud of each other." God, that's so like green flag. Mutual respect, mutual support. Can I have one of those?
Basically, there are no flags on the play on this one.
No flags.
As 2024 began, Taylor and Travis continued balancing their relationship with their careers. Taylor kept performing around the world while Travis and the Chiefs kept winning games, eventually securing another Super Bowl appearance on February 11th in Las Vegas.
There was a lot of speculation about whether Taylor would make it. She had performed in Tokyo the night before, and fans were tracking her jet in real time. When she landed in Vegas, people breathed a sigh of relief. Taylor rushed straight to the stadium, where she watched the game from a luxury box with Blake Lively, Ice Spice, and the Kelce family.
It was another exciting game. The Chiefs won in overtime, making it their second Super Bowl victory in a row. Taylor joined Travis and his teammates on the field, and when the two shared a kiss, the photo immediately went viral.
If you can believe it, even at that point, Taylor and Travis still hadn't posted a single photo together on social media. That finally changed on June 22nd, nearly a year after Travis tried to talk to Taylor at her Kansas City show. On the 22nd, Taylor shared a picture from her Eras show in London, posing with Travis, Prince William, and his two children, Prince George and Princess Charlotte. Yes, their first ever social media official photo was with the literal Prince of Wales.
The next night, June 23rd, fans were in for another surprise. During her performance in London, Travis joined Taylor on stage. Dressed in full costume, he carried her across the stage during "I Can Do It with a Broken Heart," placed her on a couch for a quick outfit change, and playfully helped her fix her makeup. Before moving on to the next song, Taylor blew him a kiss and he exited.
That is so adorable. It makes me want to throw up, just so you know. Just a few months later, in September, Taylor and Travis reached another milestone in their relationship. As Taylor accepted Video of the Year, the 2024 VMAs for Fortnite, she gave her first public shout out to Travis. She said, "The thing is, this video seems very sad when you watch it, but actually it was like the most fun video to make. Something that I'll always remember is that when I would finish a take and I'd say cut and we'd be done with that take, I would always just hear someone like cheering, like, woo, like from across the studio where we were shooting it. And that one person was my boyfriend, Travis." Taylor went on to say, "Everything this man touches turns to happiness and fun and magic. So I want to thank him for adding that to our shoot because I'll always remember that."
And in December, Travis surprised her again. This time with a 35th birthday party that also celebrated the end of the Eras tour. He invited her closest friends and even had props from the tour recreated for the event. Michelle, how important are gestures like this in a relationship?
So it goes back to something I think, Jake, you and I have talked about before. Listening to your partner and hearing your partner are two different things. And for someone to go to the level that he did, money aside, right? Because they're at a different level than what lots of people can do. But he took the effort to think about her, think about what the events in her life, think about whatever the last year has been, and incorporate some of those bigger moments into this party for her. That is someone putting his partner's needs and desires and celebrating them in a genuine way. And it's in a healthy manner. Like, it's just, the world would be a lot better place if people behaved like that generally. I mean, honestly.
As 2025 began, Travis and the Chiefs continued their winning streak and earned another spot in the Super Bowl. But this time, the outcome wasn't in their favor. The Chiefs lost to the Philadelphia Eagles, and the loss dimmed some of the spotlight on Taylor and Travis's relationship.
That lull didn't last long. In August 2025, everything shifted again. On August 12th, GQ published an article featuring Travis where he opened up about both his career and his relationship with Taylor. He said, "She was the first partner who truly understood what his life was like. In his words, "I hadn't experienced somebody in the same shoes as me. Having a partner who understands the scrutiny, understands the ups and downs of being in front of millions. That was very relatable, seeing how exhausted she would get after shows. She may not think of herself as an athlete. She will never tell anyone that she is an athlete. But I've seen what she goes through. I've seen the amount of work that she puts on her body, and it's mind-blowing." Actually, I think this applies in most relationships, is finding your equal in so many ways. And now, equal doesn't mean they have to do exactly what you do. They have to make exactly the same money you make. But equal in demands for a job, equal in expectations that you may be placed under, someone that can truly understand what it is you go through. I'll give you the best example. I mean, apart from Travis and Taylor, they both understand the highs and lows of being in the public eye. If someone comes into my life and I start dating, it's going to be really difficult for that person to understand that Sundays most often for me are work days, because all my long docket settings, which are hearings that are more than 3 hours, start on a Monday. And so my Sundays are almost always consumed with preparing for a hearing on that, on the next day. And unless you do what I do for a living, it's going to be extremely challenging for someone to understand the demands and pressures and why I have to work on a Sunday, or why I have to take a phone call right around Christmas exchanges or the 28th of December, because even though I may be on vacation, custody exchanges are blowing up all over my caseload. And so it really is important to find a partner that can truly understand the demands of your particular life, because that allows for a deeper level of understanding and compassion in what both of the partners do. And I really do think it's necessary.
Would you recommend or not recommend that partners be in the same industry, and even going further than that, be in the same potential competitive arena?
I've got a law partner that's married to another family law lawyer. Oh, and I hate that. It's such a lawyer to say it depends.
It really does. It really does.
But I think it depends. I think it depends on the type of industry you're in. I think it depends on the personalities of both partners in the relationship. It depends on so many things. I do not think being in the same industry, even if it's a competitive one, is a deal breaker, but I also don't think it's a deal maker. I don't necessarily think you have to be in the same field to understand a person's demands, because Taylor and Travis, she is a pop star. He's a football player. Those are two completely different industries. They really are. But both of what they go through helps them appreciate what the other person goes through, and to understand that the nature of and the stressors of what they undergo. And so two completely different industries, but industries that are somewhat similar in expectations and demands.
Well said.
Another example I can give is kind of like if I started dating a surgeon. I know he was my boyfriend, I couldn't call my boyfriend while he's in the middle of surgery. Just like he would know that he can't call me in the middle of a court hearing, right? Two completely different industries, but would allow each of us to understand that there are demands that change how we can operate. Ha ha, surgeon and operation. Ha ha, I love how I did that.
That was great. We're going to move on though. I would say, I'm just kidding. I would say this, is that one of the things I see comes up a lot is when you have a career that is outside of the realm of normal operating hours, if there's any trust issues in the relationship, that can be poison.
Yep.
So I've known people who have been in these situations where there was no friction in the relationship, but because of one of the partner's trust issues, any sort of after work hours activity that may be conducive to building business or socializing, and they weren't directly involved or part of that activity, was potentially seen as a threat to the relationship.
Yep. You know, judges in Texas run for election.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are campaign events that we have to go to. And those are quite often in the evenings after work. And if you have a relationship with trust issues, that's going to create problems.
Well, I'm only talking about local stuff. I'm not talking about overnight business trips. That's a whole different ball of wax.
These aren't.
that's going trips. To conventions, going to events, anything that requires flight and overnight stays. If there's trust issues in the relationship, that can be really a huge hurdle to climb.
Oh, it's a huge hurdle. Huge hurdle.
And just one day later on August 13th, Taylor made her very first appearance on New Heights. The episode broke records for viewership, and the New York Times reported that fans were struck by how loose, funny, and genuine Taylor seemed. It was a rare look at her outside the layers of the media control and global stardom.
During the episode, Taylor and Travis spoke openly about their relationship. Taylor joked, "I owe a lot to this podcast. This podcast got me a boyfriend ever since Travis decided to use it as his personal dating app about 2 years ago." But she also spoke from the heart. She said, "He's just a vibe booster in everyone's life that he's in. He's like a human exclamation point." And she added, "This is sort of what I've been writing songs about wanting to happen to me since I was a teenager."
That same episode, Taylor revealed the cover for her upcoming album, The Life of a Showgirl. It was a moment of pure excitement, with Taylor visibly thrilled to share it and Travis equally excited to stand by her side in support.
After Taylor's New Heights episode, fans began speculating about whether an engagement might be on the horizon. And they were right. On August 26th, the couple announced their engagement on social media with a caption that read, "Your English teacher and your gym teacher are getting married." The post included 5 photos from the proposal, which took place at Travis's home in Kansas City. The setting was filled with flowers, and one of the photos gave fans a close-up look at Taylor's engagement ring, an old mine brilliant cut diamond designed by Travis and Kendrick Lubbock at Artifacts Fine Jewelry in New York City. The news sent the world into a frenzy, and their families who already knew celebrated just as loudly. Travis's dad, Ed, told News 5 Cleveland, "They're just two young people very much in love. To just watch the two of them, just crazy about each other, is truly kind of neat."
As of this recording, no wedding details have been shared, but there's one question nearly everyone is asking. Will there be a prenup? It's a fair question because while both are incredibly successful, their net worths are not even close. According to Forbes, Taylor's net worth is around $1.6 billion. By comparison, Travis's net worth is about $70
million. So you want to talk prenup? Now, neither one of these people are gold diggers, but joking aside, do we do a prenup or not? I have my thoughts about it, and I think you and I have talked about this before. Taylor is a machine surrounded by lawyers, business organizations and structures, and probably trusts. I don't have any doubt that all of her business transactions and her business dealings and her monies are already protected, right? I don't really have a doubt. Now, someone pointed out in one of my comments when I did a couple of clips on this particular story that said that Taylor's not going to ask for one, but Travis is going to insist on it. And I actually think if it happens, that's going to be exactly why. I look at them and see two people that are madly, madly, madly in love. It's not very often that that kind of love you can see in pictures. But you can see, at least from my observations, and I think I did the math once, and I presided over 5,000 cases as an associate court judge. And if you think about each case has at least 2 people involved, then you have 2 attorneys involved. That's 4 people per case. You multiply that by 5,000, that doesn't even include witnesses. And you're looking at how many people over just a 5-year period I got to assess to figure out who they are, what they are, whether they're telling the truth or not. But you learn to pay attention to things that maybe other people don't see. And so I look at some of the pictures of Travis and Taylor when they're caught in their honest moments, where it's a glance that or a look that Taylor gives him, or it's a picture of him watching her while she's on stage. And what I see in those pictures, in those honest moments, is, and I hate to say it, but true love. Like, it's not a joke. Like, these two people are getting their happily ever after. I really believe that. And so because of that, I don't think Taylor, because I think she's a hopeless romantic, just look at her songs, I don't think she's going to want one. And I also don't think she needs one. But I do think that Travis may insist on one because he wants her protected, because he loves her that much. And so anyway, so that's my perspective on it. And here's the other part. We're not going to find out if there's one or not.
I mean, this is, might be the most protected secret in media, but I think probably, and something we'll get into on some additional content, and somebody had mentioned this before, it may not be who's invited to the wedding, it's who's not invited to the wedding.
Oh, it's going to be who's not invited to the wedding.
Now, granted, we're used to some celebrity sort of big gala events, and to be fair, I highly doubt this will be a stadium-filled event where they'll take their nuptials on a concert stage or on a football field. I don't think it's... We will get a lot of things, much like the engagement was very private. It wasn't something that was done at a concert or at a football game or something that would have gotten a reaction. They obviously don't want or need that. There's an intimacy and a privacy that they're craving here. And I think part of the extreme attraction is that both of them are very public figures, but they also value their privacy and they don't seem to be doing things outside of their careers to necessarily get attention focused on the relationship. It's going to happen regardless, and they know it's part of the game, but they're also playing to the comfort and intimacy of what a relationship really should be.
Can I tell you, I want to place over under odds on how long before she's pregnant. And they're going to have the most beautiful, talented babies. That being said, I think it's going to be a very low-key, very private wedding. I think we will probably find out about it after the fact. And I think it would not surprise me if babies come 10 months later.
I can almost see them having a baby in secret. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, Taylor is... When Taylor wants to be seen, Taylor's seen, but when she's not, she's not. And he's obviously been trained via, most likely, her media people on how to handle these things. So I think that ultimately, we may not know, but I think the name will probably
we'll know, but she'll be like 6 months along before we know.
Or 6 years. We'll see.
Or yeah, or the kid will be 6 years old. One of the two. I know everyone's going to be keeping tabs on what's happening next with Travis and Taylor. And you can follow me on Instagram for all my updates on them. Thank you for joining me on today's episode. I'll be back with a brand new episode soon. And remember, there are lots of four-letter words in family law, and fair isn't one of them. Until then, I'm Michelle Locke, and this is Love, Lust, Law. Love, Lust, Law is hosted by me, Michelle Locke. Jake Deptula is executive producer. Haley Gray is producer, writer, and researcher. Jared Landis is sound editor and mixer. Want to reach out to me? You can. You can email me at hello@michellelocke.com. Want to find out what I'm up to? You can as well on Instagram at Attorney Michelle Locke. Just remember, Michelle is spelled with one L, and you can thank my mother, Margot, for that.